Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm fabulous. So how was your weekend?
It was good. I went to a little family reunion. I got to see my 96-year-old aunt and some cousins and my sister and my brother, and so it was family time. So that was really fun.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
How about
you?
It
was great. Just, kept busy watching some sports, doing some stuff, you know, just
general.
And, of course, working.
Blackhawks.
Yes, I know.
I know. It was really exciting to see them win and really it was a nice surprise, because you and I were talking before the show about how Chicago, people here are such sports fanatics, and our teams just never quite seem to win. But the Hawks have been consistent winners for the last 10 years, say. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, it's almost a hockey dynasty, which is kind of cool. It's great to see.
Yes.
Almost.
Almost.
So anyways, we have an awesome guest today.
We do. I've heard a lot about her, and I know her better than most people.
I'm sure you do. So our guest today is Jan Marino. That's you.
Yay! That's
Yay.
Me.
Yeah. So anyways, let's dig into it, because I don't know if we can actually get enough Jan in a half hour. So tell us your backstory. How did what did you do, like, at a younger age? What kind of jobs did you have in sequence to get you to the point where now you're a transition coach?
Okay, so I started out when I graduated from college. It was pretty slim pickings, because I was in the Midwest, small town. And so I got a job running a showroom where they sold kitchen cabinets, which had nothing to do with my degree. I was a journalism marketing major. And from there, I went and got into corporate America and did a lot of office work, because there just wasn't – this was – I'm not even going to tell you what year. But it was – there weren't a lot of jobs. It was another recession that nobody really remembers. So – I got into corporate America, into sales and into marketing, and eventually went to work for, I worked for some very small companies and very large companies. And the last company I worked for was a behemoth called Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked myself up to senior management within the bank. But I've been laid off like 4 or 5 times. I've been fired twice. I moved every 7 years because my husband got transferred. So my background lends itself well to helping people through transitions, because I understand what you have to do to go through, you know, traumatic big transitions, like selling your house, like getting a new job every 7 years, you know, practically starting over. So I know how to do that. And so I thought there's a real need for it, especially now. My focus now is baby boomers. And I just I know that there's a huge need to help baby boomers reinvent themselves, because so many of us for whatever reason, a lot of it has to do with our finances and or we just don't want to retire. So we're rewriting retirement, much to the chagrin of the other generations in the workforce. And so it's hard, but it's important to help baby boomers understand what role they can play. And mentoring and helping companies bring on new employees, I think, is a real important place for us to be as baby boomers. Because the reality is that age discrimination is rampant in this country, and companies are looking at people over 40 even and going, you know, you're too old, which is such BS. But so we have, you know, we have a lot of work to do, but we're used to adversity, and we're used to overcoming things. And so I want to be that person that is there to be an example and to help other people. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's awesome. So how did you end up going from, you know, the things that you did, I mean, the big corporate world, to now all of a sudden being, you know, in the helping people transition side of things? I mean, what got you interested in that?
Well, I've always been somebody that's been 2 or 3 years ahead of the trends in business. I've noticed that pattern about myself. So one of the big impetuses was when I read Daniel Pink's book, Free Agent Nation, and that's been probably 10 years ago. And it really rang true for me then, because what he was saying was people are going to go from job to job, and you know, we will be independent contractors, basically. And that got me thinking, I want to be a free agent, and I want to go that route, because I could see that companies weren't going to take care of us, that contract that we used to have with companies is gone and it's not ever coming back. So what I learned right before I decided to start my own company was that the average person at that time, and that was 8 years ago, the average person in California, which is where I was living, was they stayed on the job 2 years. Well, you know, that was amazing, and that was 8-10 years ago. So then to come back to the Midwest and see that people were just now starting to understand that you were not going to work for a company for 25 and 30 years. So it just was a very natural evolution and change for me to make. And so I've been doing that ever since. And I wrote a book called Take Back Your Career so that people would understand this is the new game now. This is the way the game is played. And it has to do with you are responsible for yourself and your own career. Because our generation, you went to work, right? You went to work for a company, you got your gold watch, you were there 25 or 30 years, and that has completely disappeared. And so, but what I've learned also is that our experiences are very valuable to companies, and it'll save them time and money to bring people in who can mentor and help bring, you know, new employees up to speed quickly. So that's kind of how I made the leap, and it's been I have learned that I had a hard time asking for help, and so that's been one of the big lessons for me, is to meet people like you and say, you know, I don't know anything about podcasting, so can you help me? Would you help me? And so, you know, I've learned a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you know, some of your clients and stuff like that. What do you, you know, what's a typical client look like to you, and what's the typical outcome, you know, when you're working with somebody to help them figure this stuff out?
Well, it's changed. The typical client now is a group of clients, really. I'm focusing on groups of baby boomers who want to bring themselves up to speed in the realm of technology. And so I offer a training program that helps you create and develop your online presence, have an interactive resume, and understand how to navigate through LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, just to get that online presence, because that's the big thing boomers are missing. They, you know, the impression is in the marketplace that baby boomers don't have that technology background. And it's true, we don't. So that's one side of my business, is to bring a group of 15 to 20 baby boomers together, train those people. And then the other side of the business is I'm working with businesses, small to medium-sized companies, to introduce the concept of lease, don't buy. And by that I mean bring us in to do projects, to help you mentor people, and other things that are on a contract basis. And you don't have to hire us, full time, and you don't have to pay benefits. And so it's a way to bridge that gap. And whereas before I was concentrating really on individuals, and that was one of the ways that I started my business. And I just decided that I would rather do groups of people. And get those people ready to go and get them out there, because in a 6 week, 4 week to 6 week period, you can have everything you need to be out there and competing. So that's kind of the way this looks.
Excellent. So what are some of the biggest challenges? Because being a baby boomer and working in, you know, corporations, I kind of get it. That's one of the reasons why I run my own business. But what are some of the biggest challenges that you see that boomers have to face now that they didn't have to face, let's say, 10 years ago?
Well, boomers are not the minority, because I would say that Generation X, it's like, they don't, the people that came after us, okay, after the boomers, really have been totally ignored. And they're the people who are coming into power now. But I think the biggest challenge is that we're being squeezed out. And when, you know, we're expected to retire when we're 65. And that's just not happening. People can't afford to, and they're, you know, and they're resisting change, and they're resisting demotions, and so it's, and technology is changing so quickly. But it, just trust me, if I can do this, anybody can do this. And I taught myself, except for the podcasting, which I need your help with, so much of this stuff, as you know, is not that hard, but it can be really intimidating. So I think that the biggest challenge I see with baby boomers is that we didn't ever think that we wouldn't be in charge. And we're not in charge anymore. Millennials are. And so what does that look like? It looks like we work now for our children and our grandchildren, and that's true. So how do we make that work? And how can we work together and not work against each other and not buy into all the stuff that we see, you know, in the press about the struggle between, you know, the generations in the workforce? Because at the end of the day, what people, I think, instinctively want to do is to work together, not against each other. So I think the biggest challenge we have is is not being in charge and, you know, finding a different role for ourselves. But we've done it before. I mean, and we can do it again. You know, we're very resilient. And we've made mistakes. We've made huge mistakes, and we've learned from those. And so, you know, we want to help others make different mistakes. You don't have to make the same ones we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, you know, one of the things I think that's incredibly important is continued learning. I mean, a lot of people get into their jobs and, you know, they maybe take a, you know, they get a course at work or something like that or do an online course. But what about planning out your education for the future? Because like you, I mean, the podcasting is a great example where you say, okay, I don't get this. I need to find somebody who can teach me how to do this because this is a skill set that I need in order to propel my business forward. And I think that is the same with a lot of other people in technology.
Here's what, I mean, honestly, in real simple terms, what happens is you get a job and you get comfortable in that job and you don't want to think about it anymore and you don't want to think about, oh, you know, I might only have this job for a year or two and so I want to think about how do I position myself and keep myself valuable in the workplace? That's just, I mean, that's just a foreign concept to a lot of people because once you get into a job, you get comfortable, you try really hard to hide in your cubicle where nobody will see you and you just think if you do a really good job, you won't get laid off, and that's just not true anymore. So the idea that you have to and that you want to stay interesting and you want to stay valuable and you want to stay viable in the workforce is critical. And it's difficult for people because, again, it's change. It's, well, I want it to be easy. I want to put my quarter in the machine. No, Jan, it's a dollar now. Put my dollar in the machine and get my candy bar and leave. And it doesn't work that way. So, you know, I really encourage people to look at what are the needs in the marketplace and how can I fill those needs, not do you have a job for me? Because that's changed as well. That, you know, companies have needs they don't even know about. So for people to be able to identify the needs in the marketplace, and right now there's a huge need to bring this new workforce up to speed quickly because if you're an employer and you look and you see they're only going to be there 2 years, and normally it takes 2 years to bring somebody up to speed. I hate to say that, but it's true. Well, in 2 years they're going to be gone. So how can you cut that to like 3 months so you can get the most out of them while they're with you? Because people don't feel any allegiance to the companies that they work for. And so they will just keep moving along and churning. And so if you can help companies through that churn, that's valuable and companies will pay for it.
Go ahead. The huge points. And in the old days, I mean, there was a reason to stay loyal to a company because the longer you stayed, the more your pension grew, the better your benefits got. You know, they rewarded people for sticking around. Now, you know, a lot of times there's a 90-day cooling period, and then everything else kicks in, you know. So you're, you know, 3 months, a quarter of a year into it before you even start to feel a sense of loyalty. And then even at that, you know, the thing that used to attract people and hold them back, you know, those barriers are gone now. There's really not a huge incentive to want to stick with the company. I think the second point that you bring up about, you know, using baby boomers to mentor millennials and Gen X, Gen Y, whatever, is the fact that we're educating, and we've heard this on past podcasts, is we're educating a society where the kids don't have to show up to class and all they have to do is finish the work and they get, you know, they get a passing grade. where jobs mm-hmm. are vastly different than going to college, meaning that you
yes.
should show up at 8 a.m. and leave at 5 p.m. and, you know, be accountable for yourself and, you know, your presence is necessary. And then also, we're also educating, and again, I hate to generalize, but the people coming out of college don't have the communication skills that the boomers do because we didn't have all this technology. Face-to-face communications was the only way that we had to do it. And now, you know, texting is the norm. You know, so texting and social media and all that stuff is the norm. And so
right.
they've got to learn some of those skills because you can't run a business strictly on technology. I mean, there's got to be some face-to-face time.
Well, I think a great example of the difference in, like, in customer service, because basically that's what we're talking about is customer service and how do you talk to your customers and when do you talk
mm-hmm.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just changed financial planners because the person that we had used for a short period of time never had a meeting with us, never called us. It was all texting, and it, you know, something as important as your retirement fund or your 401k or your IRA or whatever it is, you want to talk to people and you want to see people, and
right.
At least our generation does. And so that was huge. We just made a change, and something as simple as that. And I really think that the people coming into the workforce now, I mean, my niece was at the our family reunion this weekend, and she's graduating from the University of Nebraska in August. And she's very intimidated by going out and having to find a job. At age, 21, we forget how intimidating that can be. And
mm-hmm.
yet she doesn't have those skills to be able to ask the questions to get the information that she wants. And so what she really wants to know is not, do you have a job for me? What she wants to know is, tell me about your business. Tell me about, what challenges you're facing, and then help whoever she's talking to see that she has value. You know,
mm-hmm.
the whole dance about getting a job hasn't changed enough, I don't think, for us to keep up with what's really going on in the workplace and sending resumes and going to interviews and, that model doesn't really work anymore, and nobody wants to admit it. But what really works is understanding, targeting different businesses, targeting different industries, figuring out what their needs are. And basically, every company has the same need, and it's, how do I service the clients I have now? How do I make sure they are happy and that they continue to grow and we help them grow? And also, how do I get new clients? And every company has that same need. So, it's understanding those very basic things and then how to ask questions to really get to the information you want and how to position yourself and to sell yourself and market yourself. And
mm-hmm.
I think that is a new concept for every generation. They don't
yes.
know how to do that.
Yeah, and that's, I talk about that a lot in online marketing is building a personal brand. And,
right.
part of understanding a personal brand is understanding your ideal client and how do you communicate to them. And it's no different when you're looking for a job. It's like you have to identify, who am I, what are my skill sets, what do I bring to the table, and then find companies that have a need for the skill sets that you have, and then present
right.
yourself in a way that as if you're marketing yourself. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable with that. They feel like they're selling themselves, and it's not selling yourself, it's marketing
no.
yourself. it's creating awareness, not trying to create a transaction, right?
Right. Exactly.
And so I think that
exactly.
that's kind of a you know, it's kind of a learned thing that people need to understand, that that is the new way of doing things. And I don't know, you know, I, not being in college, you know, for a long time, I'm not sure that the colleges are teaching that skill set, because the people that are teaching are usually coming from the baby boomer generation who used to know the old way.
Right. And so. and they're not. I mean, the you know, kids, I think they assume instructors and you know, people in colleges assume that these kids know how to do this because they've grown up with the internet, and and through osmosis they're supposed to know how to do this, and they don't. And the other interesting phenomena I'm seeing is that people need more than one avenue of income. And by that I mean, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And millennials get that. They really do. You know, a lot of these people have jobs, but they're also on the side starting their own companies, or they're, you know, they're doing another part-time job, maybe something online. And to me, that's, you know, that's important, because, again, it comes back to continuous learning, and it comes back to how else can I get a stream of income. Mm-hmm. And as the market fragments and continues to fragment, as companies, you know, spring up and need people to be really flexible, you know, those kinds of contracts, if you will. You know, in California, people go from, they just, you know, it's like you with your music. It's like a music gig. Okay, so I go from gig to gig. Well, that's how they look at work. And so, you know, they are free agents. They do contract work. They might be there for 6 months. They might be there for 3 months, and then they're gone on to something else. And they continuously hone different skill sets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I just think for baby boomers, like, I'm working on my second book, and I know that you have written at least two books, you know, and that's in my mind, yes, we're talking about our experiences, but that's another income stream that gives us credibility. So the income more than likely is not going to come from the book. It's going to come from the fact that we are asked to and paid for going out and doing conferences and speaking and doing, you know, doing sessions like that. And so those kinds of things are available too. And I think people just don't think about them. They know what they've been doing for the last 20 or 30 years, and they want it to be safe. And those days are gone.
Yeah, and I'm a huge proponent of the multiple income stream. You know, I mean, I've spent time trying to develop as many as possible without getting so diluted on all of them.
Right.
None of them
right.
work.
Well, that's,
yep.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's really important to kind of, you know, guide yourself through that process. So anyway,
right.
Jan, we got about a minute. And just wanted to make sure that we, you know, got in there. You know, a lot of people know how to get a hold of you from the podcast, but if they're just listening, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
The best way is to my phone number. You can call me, or you can send me an email. My phone number is 630-299-9927. The email is jan.highgainco, that's HIGHGAINCO @gmail.com. The website is the Reinvention Chronicles, reinventionchronicles.com. And I'm always looking for people who have reinvention stories, who want to share
awesome.
Those stories. I'll write them
all
up.
Right. Jan, okay. Thank you so much, and we
thank
will
you.
Talk to you next week.
Yes, have a good week, everybody.
Oh. Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.